Hey guys, it's Jessica. This week on California Cooking, I'm hanging out with the executive chef of Pizzana, Daniele Uditi. Chef Daniele is living out the American dream, but his road to success hasn't been the easiest. It all started out with Daniele and his brother moving to the U.S. from Italy. They fell on some hard times and had to live out of their van for a period of time until Daniele made a pizza for a famous actor. And the rest is history. Here's my conversation with Chef Daniele Uditi. Hi, Chef Daniele.
Hello. Ciao.
Ciao. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Pizzana.
Pizzana, yes.
What a cute spot on Robertson.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I said it's small, but you said you like that it's small.
I like when people are cozy and yeah. They can meet. Like, the table are not that far apart. At the end of the day, somebody ends up paying for the check of the other pizza people.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wish that happened more often.
I like it. Well, that's more European, you know.
Yeah.
But I love that in LA there is this kind of culture too. There's
so
many good people around there. So this is just another way for us to make people mingle.
It's right. It's great. And there's a little bar where you can sit and watch all the action in the kitchen, which I think is so fun to see how the magic happens back there.
Yeah, the best thing is that you can hear everybody in the kitchen like shouting and say, hey, I need a pizza, I need a margarita, I need this, I need that. That's great. So.
Is it true that Italians are louder than others?
Are you seeing me? I'm screaming already. So.
But it's a joyful loud. No, you're not really yelling. You're just being boisterous.
You know, I'll tell you a little story. When I met my partner Candace and Charles, and me and my brother were working in their kitchen, their house, to make the pizzana happen.
Right.
They thought that me and my brother were fighting all the time. I said, why you guys are mad at each other? No, we're not mad.
No.
That's the way we talk. So.
Right, that's how you communicate.
Yeah.
You have such an interesting story. I was reading about you that you had moved here from Naples.
Yes.
And you were working at a restaurant. Things weren't really going so well, I heard at some point in time.
Well,
basically.
It was a tough time. You
tough
know,
time.
I like it to remember that time as a, you know, fun time.
Yeah.
Even though, like, we came over here, we were promised
you and your brother,
stuff.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were promised certain stuff, then it didn't happen. Then we found ourselves living for a little bit in a van on Venice Beach, and it was fun. I had the best time of my life.
Isn't that interesting? But in the moment, were you thinking, "Oh no, we made a mistake. Like, you know, we left Italy, and here we are, and we're living in a van in Venice. What are we going to do?"
Well, you know, the main reason that we decided to come in this country is because we lost our mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to change a little bit. I wanted to change air.
Yeah.
So when I came over here and I found myself living in a van with my brother, we both gave strength to each other. And we say, like, well, why we came here? You know, we came to try something new. If we go home, we will regret. Let's say, didn't even try. So that strength kept us going. And then we saw some opportunities. We figure out, and here we are. So.
Here we are. And it's such, you know, it's the American dream, right?
It is.
You hear about when you came here to LA and you just so happened to make a pizza for a famous guy by the name of Chris O'Donnell, who's the actor. And he loved the pizza and he wanted to talk to you.
Yes.
And you said you really didn't even understand him because you didn't speak
Not
English.
A word.
Really
I only understand oven and teaching me.
Okay, so Chris wanted you to teach him how to make pizza.
Yes. It started like that. Like, he was really good at it. But and in the end, we started, his guest was starting to come in his house. And then he was blocked in the pizza station with me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I said, you know what? You have a future in this job. You can do it. Just you do it. I'm going to go enjoy a glass of wine and chat.
Chris O'Donnell, he must have had a pizza oven at his house or something. And he wanted friends and, you know, his family to come over and have like a pizza night.
Yes.
And you were going to show everybody how to make pizza from a true Italian.
Yeah. I was flipping pizza in the air in the backyard as his kids running around with soccer ball.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, and I was at his house before, like way before the time of the party.
Right.
And I was like playing soccer with one of his kids, and then we watched
games.
You
were like family.
Together. Yeah. Well, I don't consider working for Chris. You know.
Yeah.
It's just I was feeling a home. And then from Chris, I had the opportunity to meet other people.
Candace Nelson being one of them.
Yes.
Now, if you don't know the name, That is the brains behind Sprinkles Cupcakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was a fan even before meeting Candace. So
yeah.
When Chris introduced me to Candace and Charles, I was talking to Candace and we watched our time and said, oh my God, we're talking from 2 hours.
Wow.
You know, what goes behind the great cupcakes, great dessert, what goes behind the great baking process, a pizza. And now we're geeking about all night. And I say, hey, are you doing okay? Yeah, great. And then we...
So you hit it off.
Yeah.
I mean, you naturally hit it off with Candace and with Chris.
Yeah.
And then how did it go from Candace saying, I love your pizza, to, hey, let's open up a pizza spot?
Well, mainly was Chris. Chris was talking to Charles and Candace, like, you guys like his pizza. Daniela's dream, my dream was to open up a pizza restaurant and, just do my thing, introduce my flavors and stuff. And they said, you know what? We always love to have a pizza restaurant, so let's meet and let's decide what we're going to do. So I had a call from Chris. Say, Chris, I have Daniela, I have Charles here. Come over to my house. We're going to talk. And then after 2 years that we met that time, we developed menu and then we opened up Pizzana in Brentwood.
Wow. And so when did Pizzana in Brentwood open? What year?
2017.
So in 2015 is when you guys started talking. And 2 years later, you have now 2019, you have a second location here in West Hollywood.
Yes.
Do you just look back at that time? Like you said, you look back at it fondly when things were maybe tough and you didn't know what you were doing, to going, oh my gosh, I can't believe all of this kind of came together, the perfect storm.
You know, it is the perfect storm, but it's also thanks to a lot of people that have a big heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like everything is about love, you know? Mm. If you love what you do, and then you are positive in your job, and then just you give smile to people and you're happy, then good things happens, you know. Then you have to have a little bit of talent to make everything work. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's an opportunity that was given to me, and I don't want to disappoint people that gave me the opportunity to
You ran
to shine.
With it.
So,
You said because you met Candace, the queen of cupcakes, that she's changed things.
Well, that we were talking about that. We were talking for 2 hours. I really wanted to be friends with her so I could get free desserts.
Exactly. I hear you. Isn't she the nicest?
She inspired me to be a better person each day because her energy is so positive. I to be honest, I don't have that positivity in me like every day with me, but seeing her come into the stores, like when you have a dark room, when she comes in, it's like the sun.
Oh,
it's true.
It is. She's amazing.
And she inspires you to be a better person, to the people that work to you. So be inspired, like the food that you do. So I learned a lot from her, and I'm lucky that I found her. So lucky on a personal side. Unlucky on my belly side.
We blame Candace for that.
Yes.
What are there desserts on the menu here?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
There is a chocolate cake that is to die for.
Wow.
It's made with the finest chocolate ever invented in the world.
Oh my gosh.
We have a beautiful panna cotta, which is a cooked cream, if you want to translate it literally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a classic Italian dessert, but she made her spin on it, like salted caramel. There is a crunchy pretzel. It's so good. It's so good. So really good.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tell me, if you would, the origins of pizza. Is there a region that claims it? Is there a region that says, we are the ones that discovered the pizza?
Well, the history say that it's Naples. It's the land where I come from.
Okay.
But I believe the pizza, like a flatbread, a pizza is something that has been, flattened with your hand and put some toppings on it.
I
think that goes even further than, even previous. Are you say previous?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, even before the Neapolitan invention, you know.
Yeah.
And there is always this this discussion about innovation, tradition. You know, at the end of the day, in Italy, they invented the pizza, right?
Mm-hmm.
We invented the pizza. But at the time, the pizza was something new. So it was innovation.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do something new here. So it's innovation and hopefully one day will become tradition. So that's my idea.
Would we call this pizza here at Pizzana Neapolitan pizza?
We call it Neo-Neapolitan.
Neo-Neapolitan
because it's based on my past working in Naples. And, you know, that's what I learned.
Yeah.
But I applied a new technique. Like my family in Caserta, close to Naples, they own a bakery. So I used to make bread when I was 12 with my auntie.
Yeah.
So I brought the starter from my auntie's bakery here. Refresher.
The starter dough. Yeah. It's 60-some years old,
64.
I heard. 64 years old.
San Valentine's Day.
Really? It has a birthday?
Yes, it has a birthday.
So to people that don't understand, like, what do you mean the dough's been around 619
well, it's not the
for
dough.
60 years? Well, so what do you mean?
It's not the dough. It's a starter. It's people use
like yeast.
I don't use chemical yeast. I use like natural fermented yeast.
Okay.
This first water and flour dough without yeast was fermented in the basement of the my auntie bakery.
Yeah.
So, and then from then we refresh, we feed them. It's like a baby.
Right.
You need to give him food every day so he can
grow.
He can stay alive.
I almost would think of it like a plant.
Yeah.
Right?
Or,
you know, something where that continues to grow.
And that's what we do here. Every day you have to take care of like, and the nightmare for a baker when you work with a starter is like, you wake up in the morning, if at night the temperature goes down, it's like, oh my God, did I cover the baby? How are you feeling? You don't see too much bubble. Oh my God, I need to save you. So,
do you ever come to check on the baby in the middle of the night?
There you go. It's a one-on-one relationship.
Yeah.
Because usually when you have a baby, you have a wife and your wife reminds you.
Right.
Can you go check out on a baby?
Yes.
No, this with the starter, you have to remember on your own. So there is no reminding.
No one's reminding you.
Oh my God, you wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh my God, the baby, do you have bubbles enough? Oh my God, I need to feed you. So.
That's so fun. So your family in Naples, though, you said your aunt was a baker and there were family members that were involved in making food and baking.
My oldest brother.
Yeah.
Basically, I grew up waking up in the morning like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Because all the noise in the
house.
The bakery was attached to the house.
Okay. Like,
was in the next room. And you listen to everybody like making the dough like, hey, more strange, come on, let's do this. Come on, we have 140 loaves to do today. So you wake up in the morning and say, what's going on? And instead of giving you coffee, you say, put the apron, go mix the dough. and that's how I started.
But I heard you were the one that said, hey, I've got a little bread dough, let's make a pizza.
Yeah, well, sometimes when... in my auntie bakery was a leftover dough.
Yeah.
What I used to do, I used to flatten the dough and just put tomatoes, mozzarella, a lot of stuff on it, what I liked it. And then at the end of the shift, like when we were done, we were sharing this pizza. It was crunchy, it was soft, because it was baked at the same temperature as the bread, which is...
High heat.
No,
right?
It's lower. It's lower than pizza.
Ooh.
So pizza usually is baked at a really high temperature, the Neapolitan pizza. But bread is baked way lower, like 450, 500. So I like that texture.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. So
describe the classic Neapolitan pizza. If we were to go to Naples, what is it like?
Well, it's, there is two ways right now. There's two ways right now about the Neapolitan pizza. There is the flat and large style.
Okay.
And there is... modern Neapolitan pizza, which has a really puffy high crust.
Mm.
So both pizza are cooked at really high temperature, around 850, 900 degrees.
Wow.
So really hot. And for 60 second max, 90 second max.
Hot and fast.
Yes, but it's not the style of the pizza that I like the most, even though I'm from Naples. But I like the pizza to be more crispy, more crunchy, has some texture on it. So that's why I lowered the temperature and I cooked it for more time, so 2 minutes and a half, max 3 minutes, because I want the pizza to be sturdy. So when you pick up a slice to me,
that it doesn't flop.
That's what I don't like personally.
Right.
There's nothing wrong. I don't want to start a war.
No, it's very personal.
Your styles are really important. This is my style. This is what I like.
Yeah.
This is my family history. That's what, the pizza that I used to eat when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to give people to LA. I want to give people a piece of my family history.
How has America influenced the way you make pizza now? Has it changed anything?
Yeah, it did change a little bit. You know, about flavor sometimes, I love Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Mexican, I love Asian food. So some of those flavors
have made their
somehow
way
made their way on the menu. You know,
yeah.
I had a Mexican pizza. We call it Mexicana in Italian, but as chorizo, jalapeño, queso fresco, cilantro,
wow.
lime crema. So these are flavors that in Naples are like a blasphemy.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like the flavor.
Yeah.
I like to think it as a taco. I love tacos. So,
right. But that's what America's all about, right? We take ingredients from all over and we got it. We have a new recipe.
You know, people are really... there's a huge debate about putting pineapple on a pizza.
Ah, pineapple and ham.
But some people here are favorite. Maybe it's attached to some memory that they had in college or
right.
at school. So who am I to say, no, pineapple pizza sucks.
It was Little Caesars order or our Domino's, you know.
But maybe that's a memory that you have. Maybe a gathering together with your family.
I mean, I wasn't into it myself, but I know people that are. And I called, I have a friend that we said, oh, we're going to order some pizzas. And she said, oh, can you get me the pineapple ham? So I called up one of the local pizza places around here, and the guy goes, no, I will not put pineapple and ham on the pizza.
Yeah.
So you're not alone in that.
Well, no. You're
cool with it.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
One day, I would love to find the perfect way to put a pineapple on a pizza.
Okay. But you haven't figured that out yet.
Not yet, because it's hard. To me, it's hard.
Yeah.
I understand where the debate comes from, but... if that's the challenge, you know, a chef loves challenge. So
mm-hmm.
if one day I can find the perfect way to put pineapple on a pizza,
I'll do it. I hear a lot of the ingredients are as far as tomatoes and cheese comes from Italy.
Yes, we import. Well, the main thing about Pizzana is to marry my culture with the Southern Californian culture.
Yeah.
So South Italy with South California. It sounds cheesy to me, but it's not. To me, it's an act of love. Towards this country,
right.
They gave me so much opportunity. So my mom taught me to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And I go to the farmer's market over here, and I talk to the farmers. I listen to their story. Sometimes they have a problem of growing big quantities of some produce
mm-hmm.
Because some parasite, you know.
Right.
I want to help them out. Like, okay, what you have a good today? Tell me a blue potato. Why is it special, the blue potato? And that, because the content of the starch, you can use it like this, because you can use it like that. I think the perfect, Wikipedia, right now, if you call it, for the chef, is the farmers.
Mm.
So you go to the farmer's market and then just buy what's available, what's fresh, and try to get fun when you go back in the store. So, at Pizzana, we try to marry South California with South Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of ingredients we import from Naples. The tomatoes are import from Naples, the flowers, the fior di latte, which is a dry version of the mozzarella. And then all the produce, I prefer to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have imported produce from Italy, but that would be canned. And I don't want to serve canned food, so...
So what kind of things do I see on the menu that have been influenced by trips to the farmer's market?
Well, you have a section on the menu that is called, that is insalate, which is salad.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some of the antipasti. So the artichokes are when I go to farmer's market and I saw the beautiful artichokes, I just wanted to create something with it. So we made an appetizer with just the heart of the artichokes, and then all the leaves of the baby artichokes, we just chop it up and then lightly crisp it up in the fryer.
Wow.
But just for 30 seconds.
Oh.
And the broccolo romano, which is the romanesco.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this beautiful
looking.
It looks like a spaceship to me.
So pretty.
It reminds me of when I was a kid playing with the Lego and all this stuff. So I wanted to do something with it. So this one, Mary, the produce from the farmer's market, but then there is Calabrian chiles from South Italy. Olives from Gaeta, which is a town close to where I was from.
Yeah.
There's fresh herbs, breadcrumbs. It's everything comes together. And it's vegan.
what? You have to whisper that.
No, no, I don't have to whisper that.
If you're in Naples, you're whispering.
Not even. No. In Naples, we actually eat 5 to 6 days a week vegan, and I didn't even know.
Right, it was just life.
Yeah.
Wasn't called a thing.
Meat was once a week on a Sunday when all the family gathered together.
Yeah.
So while I was cooking all these appetizers and vegetables, to me, it came natural to work with vegan option. So most of the stuff that you see on the menu can be done vegan, easy.
Wow. You know, Cacio e Pepe, late Jonathan Gold, talked about that and how he said it was just... The way he described it, I wish I had the article because it was like a love story to your pizza.
Yes, well, I had the luck to talk to Jonathan for 2-3 hours each time that he came to the restaurant. And this touched me because I was really attached to the guy. To me, it was a source of information. Mm. It was so inspiring talking to him. Mm-hmm. And when he wrote that review... It's just, I was without words.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was screaming when, this is so beautiful, but I was just touched because, you know, touching somebody with your food like that, to me, is the best thing you can do as a chef.
Yeah.
So, the cacio e pepe, he described as the small miracle.
Wow.
And those words I will keep in my heart as long as I live, so.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I love hearing all the stories of Jonathan Gold and how he touched the lives of so many chefs like Daniele. Chef Daniele and I got into the kitchen to make his famous Neapolitan pizza and a crispy artichoke salad. To see us cooking up those specialties, go to ktla.com/cooking or check out our Instagram at KTLA California Cooking. Please let me know what you think of this podcast. Go to the Apple Podcast app or wherever you get this podcast to rate the show and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the kitchen.